This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Now, we know it's a gorgeous day out there. So if you've had trouble in the past getting online because the lines are all jammed up, you might have an easier shot today because we're all enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah, today's the day to get in if you need to.
Yeah, so 860-522-9842 is the number. And actually, the lines are ringing, so that's great. Because otherwise, we'll be talking about our kids and our cats, and that doesn't make for great radio. But we do have things to talk about. We've got our usual and customary technology news that you can use. So what do we got, Dennis? Anything people should be aware of?
Well, yes. Out in San Bernardino County,
yes,
the Sheriff's Department has been dealing with a ransomware incident for weeks now.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure how long, but it's been more than 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
They finally surrendered and paid $1.1 million
yikes
to the guys that commandeered their systems in order to get them back.
Locked up the cop systems. Come on, guys.
Yeah, and it was interfering with 911 calls. It was causing the cops in the field to have to make phone calls to find out about license plates and stuff.
Right.
They couldn't use their regular systems to get answers instantly. So that's a big hindrance.
Yep.
It doesn't prevent them from doing their jobs, but it definitely, puts a hurdle in their path. Yeah. And it's a big problem. And according to the article that I have from ABC7 out in LA, the way that this is believed to have started is that someone...
Drum roll, please.
And let me know if you've heard this one before. Okay.
Yeah.
Someone clicked on a malicious link.
In an email.
In an email.
So this is something that is so preventable, guys. I mean, nothing's 100%, right? So obviously, if you're being targeted by the bad guys out there, it's difficult. But, email is the majority of the ways these ransomwares get into your systems. So what do you need in place? Well, you need definitely to have security awareness training. I know it sounds kind of like an oxymoron when it comes to cops, right? Because security awareness.
They should be aware of security, right? If anybody is.
Yeah, but they're just as bad at computers as most other people. They're fine at all the physical security that they help us with. But cybersecurity and police officers probably are just as bad as anybody else. I mean, I think they have folks that are in that department to actually focus on cybercrime. But clearly, somebody got tricked. So security awareness training is really the last line of defense. What they also need to have in place would be a email system that prevents those malicious links, prevents the attachments from coming into your email system in the first place. Two-factor authentication also would be helpful. Web filtration, which when you clicked on the link, it wouldn't have allowed you maybe to go anywhere. ADR technology on there to actually look at that malicious foothold that was placed there by the link and the bad guys utilized to load the software.
Right. So even if one machine gets compromised, that can end up being contained before it goes anywhere else.
Exactly.
If you have a good MDR system.
Right. So all these things, and again, of course, a good backup and a plan.
Yes.
A plan. So I guess you could, in your plan, you could have, well, we will pay the bad guys $1 million. It could be part of your plan. The chart could say if then, oh, no backup, no EDR, pay the bad guys. There is a limited amount of time that you're going to have, right, to operate your business or whatever entity you have that you need to run without your systems. And when Dennis talks about them being ransomed, they're encrypted. The whole thing, all the systems are useless, right? You can't do anything with them. And I would suspect, well, they might be self-insured, but because the taxpayers are insuring them.
Well, actually, they did have cyber insurance.
Oh, good.
And it's covering roughly half of the cost.
The irony of that, just so you guys know, is that the bad guys actually go look to see what level of coverage you have. Because you, for some crazy reason, there's a software out there that allows you to do that. So the customer service representatives of the account managers of the bad guys goes out and say, San Bernardino's got some coverage here. Let's go ahead and hit them. I know it's an ironic situation, but not having cyber insurance is also just as bad because the bad guys will send the emails like a shotgun blast. It goes to everybody.
Right.
And if you don't have any coverage, it's even worse.
Right.
But it is preventable. These days, the technology is out there to do a pretty good job. And if you haven't done a tabletop exercise to figure out how you're going to respond if this happens, and maybe this was part of their tabletop. $1 million bucks. Yeah, we'll pay these bad guys. You know, it just is what it is. Somehow cryptocurrency is still a thing for some ding-dong reason.
In fairness to the sheriffs, the insurance company was part of that negotiation. So
they often are.
Yes.
They often are. They actually hand it off to negotiators who will then work with the bad guys. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, and I may have told this story, but we picked up an account that had gone through a ransomware attack. And I think they were ransomed for like $700,000, and they talked them down to $300,000. And when the owners of the company went to the bank to take the money out to write a check to the negotiating company for them, which is working with the insurance, the bank said, "No, you're involved in a crime, and you cannot pay a ransom." The FBI tells us, which is true. So the bank says, "We're not going to give you your money to pay the ransom." And the owner of the business said, "Well, then I'll have to sue your bank because I'm done." Because of course, the backup that this company had was horrific. No offsite backup, and everything was encrypted. Everything. It was an awful story that he told. But again, so you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. But you got to put some basic technologies in place, and these technologies do not have to cost you an arm and a leg.
No,
many of our competitors' cases, they will charge you an arm and a leg and a spleen. we don't do that to our clients. So it's an interesting situation. This is a billion-dollar industry, $1 billion in crypto, fake money that turns into real dollars, and then they go buy pizzas. But this is what we're dealing with. So what else you got, Dennis?
In another ransomware attack, this took place at Bluefield University in Western Virginia.
Okay.
It's very close to the West Virginia border.
Yep.
They've also been dealing with a ransomware attack for, I think, a few days.
Jeez.
And the guys that took control of their systems actually hacked into their emergency alert system.
Oh my God.
And sent out basically threats to everybody in there that they were
on campus,
on the campus, or connected with the university in any way that were getting these alerts. They were going to, dox them essentially, and reveal their data. So you better tell the university to pay us.
Right, so they're trying to use
was them. In the alerts.
Oh my gosh, trying to use the masses to say, "Oh, pay them because we don't want to get doxxed by these guys."
Yeah, amazing. I mean, they'll do anything to get paid.
They will
at this point.
And whether or not they have your data, I mean, they could just have a little portion of your data and act like they have your data. Some of that's even an act. So you got to be careful. Speaking of emergency alert, when I was in Florida this past visit, got a nice emergency alert at 4:30 in the morning.
4:30?
Yes. All of our cell phones went cuckoo because the ding-dongs in Florida decided to actually do a test of the emergency alert system at 4:30 in the morning. It made statewide news in Florida, obviously. It even made national news. Come on. I mean, who was the bureaucrat that thinks, I mean, obviously he's a 12 o'clock flasher and meant to do 4:30 p.m.
Maybe.
And didn't understand.
I was thinking, why don't you do it at 4:30 p.m.?
Clearly the system is not based on the 24-hour time, the military time there. They use a.m. and p.m. and some ding-dong set it for 4:30 in the morning. But it worked. All these people are saying, well, at least it wasn't a real emergency. At least there wasn't an asteroid coming to hit us. Okay, great. We're all awake and really cranky.
Oh, and the asteroid thing actually happened, people. Wasn't there
what?
Something no, it was a nuclear attack.
The nuclear attack. Yeah, that was in Hawaii.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That was another false alarm. Good news, though. It was good news. Good news.
Yeah, at least there wasn't a nuclear attack in Hawaii.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to be here having fun, and feel free to get online with us and join us. 860-522-9842. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we are on the old Facebooks here. Zuckerberg, if he deems the broadcast worthy, you can go ahead and join us on WTIC's Facebook page and post your questions within the chat. And even your fellow listeners might have some answers for you. And, of course, everything we talk about will be posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. graduates are graduating this weekend.
Wow.
You can now say you've got your own, right? God bless the child. It's got its own degree. Make your own money and leave us alone. Pay your taxes. But it's great. It's one of my favorite tunes. Thanks, Carolyn. All right, so a couple lines open. 860-522-9842 is the number. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Darius first. He was on the line this morning early. What's going on, Darius?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Oh, great.
It's got a Dell laptop that's maybe a year old and need to load Office Pro Plus 2019 retail.
Okay.
We purchased a few. A number of them worked a couple years ago, and we had a spare.
Yep.
And it will not let us activate it. Tried to do the Google search, and it says you got to unload the preloaded 365 and all the other stuff, but it will not take and activate. And you guys know that you can't talk to anybody live
at Microsoft.
And we're stumped.
Just one real quick question. Did you try doing the activation over the phone too?
Yes.
Okay. And that also failed.
Code,
okay.
Yeah. They're saying not valid.
Okay.
And, we've been called and they sent us the link on a cell phone and tried that. And as you know, you can't get a hold of anybody live. And so here you are. And every time you try to do something, it always reinstalls 365 and prompts you to try to activate that.
Of course. They want you to pay forever. And now it's probably the case, I'm guessing, that this office might have been activated on a different machine per your earlier
statements. No, brand new. We just unwrapped it.
Really?
We've got one left.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh.
Retail, purchased it at an authorized store. And
okay. So it's a legit copy with a legit key, and it just won't work.
Previous ones were perfectly fine. This
yep.
just happened to be a spare computer that we now need to update because the one that was being used is had some issues, and so before it totally dies, we're trying to transfer over the Outlook. And
yep.
But usually very proficient with this stuff, and it just and even when you sign into the Microsoft account, it doesn't even have a place to put a key code anymore.
Well, they don't expose those in the website anymore. You're right. Not for 2019. I think 2013 is the most recent version where you can actually see the product key.
Yes.
I'm going to suggest, if you haven't done it already, and I wonder if you have, because it sounds like you've covered a lot of ground already. Have you tried Microsoft's little tool that can fix activation problems for Office?
I didn't realize they had one.
Hey.
Oh, hey. All right. We're going to post the link
to a
Microsoft site. It's called SARA Support and Recovery Assistant, and it comes in many flavors to handle many different tasks. One of them is Office activation problems.
There you go.
So go to the website that we're going to link to and scroll down. There's going to be a button that says, let's activate your Office. You click that. It's going to download something and run it. You're going to want to go to the website in Edge.
Yeah.
You can't do this in Chrome. The thing that that downloads and launches won't launch from Chrome. It'll only launch from either Edge or Internet Explorer, and Internet Explorer won't even work anymore on a Windows 10 computer. So you got to use your Edge to go to the site.
Yeah.
And then click that button, let it run the little tool. When the tool starts, it will disappear and it will look like the computer is doing nothing for up to 30 seconds.
Typical Microsoft
Just
machine.
Wait. It will work.
Okay. Now, the other question is, I've read on a couple of different pages where you've got to uninstall the old 360 or the pre-installed
365. You absolutely do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Else
you can't
that
have
to be uninstalled.
You just can't have two versions of Office on a computer. You can try, and I know people that have done it, but all practical purposes, it's not possible to do. So if you haven't already uninstalled that 365 version, get it off there and reboot after you remove it.
Yeah.
Because doing anything after that before you've rebooted won't even be helpful.
And what's interesting is it did load. It works, but it's in that 30-day countdown window.
Right, because it doesn't think you've activated it. And
then we try to activate it, it doesn't. And then what it does is it says, do you want to do an update? And then you do the update. And then it says, okay, we've successfully reloaded Office 365 on this machine.
Yeah, that's because you've got that 365 installation in there. It's got to go.
That's even after we deleted it.
Deleted it or uninstalled it?
Oh, uninstalled it. Yeah, no, uninstalled. Okay. But it seems like when it tries to do its update for the Office 19, which probably has a dozen updates before it discontinued, but it still tries to load 365 again, and then it prompts you to go to the Microsoft, your account, and then when you try to enter the code, it says, it's not valid, but if you want, we could, you could come and activate the 365 and just pay here.
I'm going to suggest you uninstall whatever's on there in any form of Office, all forms, reboot the computer, go to the site that I suggested, click on that link to fix your Office activation, and let it fix it.
Okay. All right, Darius.
And then that's going to be posted on the TIC website?
Our site, computertalkwithtab.com.
Perfect. Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
All right, good luck. Sure. Thank you. All right, so we're going to be here till 11 o'clock helping you with problems just like that. Feel free to get online, 860-522-WTIC. Stan and Don, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Back. One line open for you, 860-522-9842 is the number. Let's get right to your calls, because you're nice enough to join us on this very pretty Saturday morning. We're going to go to Hanover and Stan first. Hey, Stan, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I have a problem. I built a new computer last year.
Yep.
I'm using that Asus B550-F version motherboard.
All right.
With a AMD Ryzen 5, I think it's a 3600 CPU. I originally, when I built it, I had one M.2 drive that I installed, 500 megabytes.
Yeah.
And I decided I want to put another one in. I have another slot for it.
Nice.
And I bought the same one, Western Digital. 750,
mm-hmm.
1 terabyte. I put it in. The BIOS recognizes it. The device manager recognizes it. The disk manager does not. And I've tried everything I can think of and looked at every site. I cannot get it to recognize this thing.
All right.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. I would suggest getting a hold of one of Western Digital's diagnostic tools. And I'm going to try to look up where that would be for you. Let me see what I can find out.
And have you used any of the diagnostics from Western Digital to format that drive?
No, I haven't. That was the thing. It says you can, and one of the answers to the problem was format it using something like disk plan or disk place or something in Microsoft. It has to show up in the disk manager to format it, and it doesn't show up there.
Right. So you're not seeing it at all to even initialize it, is what you're saying?
No. I'm not seeing it at all. I see it. The BIOS recognizes it. I've been into my BIOS. It recognizes it.
And the device manager
recognizes it.
Okay. How about in computer management?
Yep.
Does it show up in disk management? Disk management within that?
No, it does not.
Okay.
And you have no other machine to pop this in to see if it's a good drive, right?
No, I don't. No, it's only. I mean, I actually took the 500 one out and installed it in the same same, you know, left it out.
Okay.
Doesn't have my OS on it.
Oh, it doesn't?
And, no. No, okay. It does not have my OS on it. I have my OS is on a SATA.
Okay. Okay, that's surprising. Okay, so you put this in that slot and the same result.
Same result.
Okay, well, that's pointing more for me that you've got a bad drive.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking, because now you've actually eliminated something that we didn't think you could do a test on, in that you took the OS on a different drive, the 1500's in there and is recognized. Now, you could also check on the ASUS motherboard's support page to see if there's any jumpers or settings you have to do to activate that M.2 port. You shouldn't have to. If the port exists, it should work.
Well, it said that to go to something storage, and it should be two drivers that have to be activated. Both of them activated.
So right, and you see it. And you see it in the BIOS, right?
I see it in the BIOS, yeah.
Okay, so then if you see it in the BIOS, you put it in the other slot, you still see it in the BIOS, but it doesn't want to show up. I'm voting for bad drive. What do you got, Dennis?
That's what I'm voting for, too, but I would like to be able to have him substantiate that. And there is a tool that Western Digital has that you can download, and it will check that drive.
Yep.
And if it is bad, it'll tell you. It'll probably even give you an error code of some kind. And then you can contact Western Digital, say, hey, I got your drive. Here's the error code.
Right. So we're hoping the tool will actually work even though it's not showing up in the OS. We're hoping the tool finds it.
Well, yeah, that's what we're looking for.
It may not, but we're hoping for that, Stan.
Right.
So we got a link for you.
If not, then I'm going to contact Western Digital and see if I can get
those drives. You're probably going to be calling them anyway.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm just trying to give you a little ammunition
to
maybe, how can I say it, grease the skids when you make that call.
Because
if you've got an error code that's genuine, they don't even have an argument. They're just going to tell you, yeah, we're going to ship out another drive for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
outstanding.
Yeah.
I've been pulling my hair out for 2 days trying to figure this thing out. I've looked at every work around they give you on the internet.
Yep.
Not a one of them works.
No. Well, again, it's all based on the assumptions and the logic, right? So you've done the basic there where you put it into the slot you know is good and it still doesn't show up. So there's something wrong with that drive because the BIOS sees it as a physically existing.
Right.
But the operating system is not seeing it to even initialize it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually took the 500 and put it in the second M-2 slot.
And it works.
Oh, you're a man after my own heart.
It works.
It works.
I know I don't have a bad motherboard.
Yeah. Nope. You're really pointing to a bad drive, Stan.
Okay, I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for
the help.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, so he's going to check on that. Now let's go over to Mr. Don Cussin out there. He wants to chime in. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. So since you were talking about the bad guys getting into your computer system and the cops out there that had to pay $1 million, I had a little story that I needed to tell you.
Sure.
And because I have a computer, you guys saved us.
Oh, cool.
And this goes back about a year and a half ago. We were putting some brand new software in, and of course the company we're dealing with, we've got to download, and of course your firewall's got to be down and any kind of protection's got to be down. So at least we did all the right stuff, and Patrol Dog has always been backing us up, etc. And we did a recent backup 1 hour before we were going to do this. And as you know, my business, it's constant. We're going all the time.
Yep.
So we shut everything down, and we're doing the download on it. And we think it's all successful. Well, within about 10 minutes, we're getting the ransomware coming out of our computer systems.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted, I think it was like $600,000, and the first thing we're doing, we just started unplugging computers. We unplugged it. Everything got unplugged. We were very fortunate. I think you know I've got a techie guy in my shop. We were very fortunate to reboot. We took everything out of that computer, took the drive out, threw it all away, and within 3 hours, we were back up and running. With no heartache. So
nice.
To your listeners, the importance of don't just click on what you think. But this was one of those Trojan jobs that came in, and it, we couldn't see it. We didn't know. There was nothing we can do.
Right.
Firewalls down. It was what it was.
Yeah.
So I just want, Eric, thank you very much for what you do. Mm-hmm. I enjoy writing my check to you monthly.
And it's a very small, tiny check, too.
Yeah, not big.
Exactly, yes. And that's the point. And that is truly the point.
Yeah.
You guys saved our butts, and you do a great job. So thank you for what you do, and your listeners, they all need to know that.
Thank you, Don. We appreciate right? that. Yeah, we appreciate you out there, too, because we wouldn't have our cars rolling if it wasn't for you.
Yeah, thank you, Don.
No problem. We appreciate it. So, guys, have a good day and stay out of trouble.
Yeah, you too, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, yeah, I mean, some of those things in the old days, some software you did have to turn off security protections.
Yeah, you
to
had to disable
things.
Your antivirus and disable your firewall, a bunch of other stuff.
And nowadays, that's less of a thing.
Yes.
So you shouldn't have to do that often. But again, we had a good backup for Don. I was able to restore and get him back up and running. All right. Let's go on to Sam in Newington next. What's going on, Sam?
Good morning, folks.
Morning.
I just want to tell you before I start my question that I'm a senior and I listen to you all the time. And to me, it's almost like a foreign language. The last two callers, no clue what they're talking about. But
okay.
So I have a very, very basic question.
All right.
Turn off my computer ever.
Say that again.
Sam,
you broke up a little bit. What do you not do?
I never turn off my computer.
Wow.
Ever.
Okay.
So I wanted to know the pluses and minuses of failure to do that. I know that's probably a very elementary question, but
no.
I'm an older guy, and that's the question.
That's a fair question, sir.
Number one, the operating system and the apps will never update because in order to get the new code running, you need to restart it with the new code in place. If you just keep it up and running, you keep clicking, you know, load Windows updates, load Windows updates, load Windows updates. Well, it'll put them into place to get updated.
Right.
But then nothing happens and you're still running the older version of Windows. So that's the first thing. You're opening up major security holes. The other problem is a lot of stuff will just stop working right. Because you're going to have memory leaks that happen over time, and then the memory gets purged in other ways, and you're going to have applications that had memory open that now can't access it,
right,
and they won't function correctly. Yeah,
It's not a good idea, Sam.
It's a disaster waiting to happen.
We tell you to turn your machine off when you're not using it. It'll save
every
energy.
Every day?
Yeah.
Every day?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I only turn my computer on when I need to use it, and then I have it turn off into a sleep mode at least, and I do reboot it regularly.
Right. Or you can just log out or sign out, as it's now called on Windows 10 and 11.
Yeah.
But definitely you need to restart it every once in a while, at least. For a Windows computer, I would say once a week, at the very least.
Yeah.
If not every day or every 2 days.
All right, Sam.
But it takes quite a while once I turn it on.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Okay. And I guarantee that it will.
It will come back.
Because there's a lot of updates that are getting loaded. But that's just the price you pay to have a safe computer.
Well, that's very helpful.
All right, Sam.
As always, we thank you, folks.
Our pleasure.
Okay, right, bye-bye.
We're going to go to a quick break. It is frustrating, right? So he's not rebooting his machine because it takes so long for Windows to load. It is an issue. It has been a thing, but get a cup of coffee, I guess, as you wait for your Windows to load. We'll be right back. We are back and here till 11 o'clock. So stick with us the whole next hour, guys. I know you're itching to get outside, but we're here to help you. And of course, it is UConn graduation week. So all of you are driving up to UConn, and congratulations to all the moms and dads. God bless the child who's got his own, right? So they've got their degree. Don't ask me to pay for it, for crying out loud. That's a whole other issue, but they've got their degree. They're going to go out in the world. Get them out of your house and get them working, being productive members of society, man.
Yeah.
And then they can play that song.
Right.
as their theme song. All right, let's go on to Seth out there in Hartford. What's happening, Seth?
Oh, I have had a hell of a week. I got hacked.
Ah,
and ooh. Some guy in Nigeria.
No, you're kidding. A prince?
I don't know who he is. I don't have a clue.
Okay.
But I lost 10 years worth of contacts.
Oh,
okay.
All my contacts in my Outlook are gone.
All right.
How do I get them back?
What do you mean they're gone?
Well, I go to my Outlook to look at my emails and so forth, and I go over on the left-hand side and click on people.
Yeah.
And there's no people.
Do you have a backup, Seth?
No, I don't. I do. I have it backed up to the cloud, but I think I do. I have to look and see if I do or not. But
okay.
I did everything I was supposed to do. You know, I froze all my credit reports. I went to changed all my passwords, did all the things I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
But I can't, when I try to import my contacts, I mean, export them into a new Gmail account.
Right.
Only 25 show up.
Yeah. Well, so what was the nature of this hack? I think people need to understand.
Well, see, I was getting this thing for the last few weeks from Outlook saying, you've used up all your storage. You used up all your storage. We're not going to let you see any more emails. You know, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
So I tried to not have to pay Outlook because
sure.
I didn't want to pay them to say anything. So I kept getting this thing saying, "Click onto this, and we'll get you all fixed up and all this." And when I clicked on it to log into my Outlook account, it looked kind of funny. And
there it is.
That should have been the light bulb that went off.
Yeah.
Because it looked funny. But I was worried that I was going to not get my emails from Outlook and all this kind of stuff. So I clicked onto it. And then sure enough, all my friends and everybody in my contact list was getting this email from me saying, send me an Amazon gift card and all this stuff. And it was just, and I got a thing from Microsoft saying there's been some activity from Nigeria in your Microsoft account.
Yeah.
Now, what do you want to do?
So basically what that guy did was what I always joke about on the show. He asked you for your password and you gave it to him. When that email came through tricking you to actually log in your credentials, that's my joke, right? That's why I do what I do all the time, asking you for your password, because you have to be aware and this is just for everybody out there, when you receive an email from any company asking you to click on a thing that then asks you for your credentials, it is most likely a hack. It's basically a bad guy saying, and again, the word hack, he didn't even hack. He just asked you for your password and you filled it in. So just
but here I am. I'm worried that I'm, Microsoft, I did see that in Microsoft and my Outlook that I wasn't getting any more emails. This was before any of this even happened. I kept getting things from Microsoft saying, you're full. So I went through and I cleaned out all my old emails and all every single folder I had. I cleaned out all the junk thinking maybe that would free up some stuff.
Right.
Well, but
he's using something that's a known issue with Microsoft changing their monetary structure, their billing structure as a way to trick you.
Right.
And remember, folks, you got to turn on two-factor authentication. So,
yeah, I'd have that now.
Yes.
Well, for everybody else out there with an Outlook.com account or Hotmail, set it up now.
Because even if
stop what you're doing and set it up now.
Because Seth, had you put that information in and the bad guy had your password, guess what? It still wouldn't have worked because he wouldn't have had the second factor.
Yep.
So your backup really is your only way to get your contacts back.
Okay.
So if you have a backup somewhere of your your contacts file, whether I'm assuming it's a PST, you have to get that, restore it, and then do your export from that backup to the Gmail that you want to move to, it sounds like.
Okay.
But it's only a backup that's going to save you.
Well,
alrighty.
Dennis has another idea.
Well, I was wondering if perhaps there is an older Outlook data file, like a PST file or an OST file that might have his contacts still in it.
On his machine?
Yeah. I mean,
so search
you might
for
do
that.
A little forensics And if you can open that file in Outlook, and you do it very simply by clicking File, Open, and Open Outlook File,
right?
Those contacts might be in there, but that might not even find them.
Do a search on your system, is what he's saying, for a .ost or .pst.
Right.
And if you find those files...
.ost
yeah.
or OSP?
T as in time.
OST.
Or PST. P as in Paul, S as in Sam, T as in Tom.
Yeah. Those two files, if they exist and they have an older date range maybe than what you have now, maybe you'll get lucky.
Yeah.
So it's file PST or file OST?
Right. Asterisk dot.
Asterisk dot. And then those three letters.
Yeah. Do a search and do a search and explore.
Different types.
Okay. I had a friend who used to tell me he had had all these crazy passwords, and what he would do is go through and use characters out of the Bible.
Sure.
And I had to get my Bible and look up how to spell these things. But I got to tell you, it's probably going to work a lot better.
Well, again, the password itself is kind of useless. He could have had an entire, you could have put the entire huge phrase in there. When the guy asked you for it, you gave it to him.
Yeah.
It's the second factor, the two-factor aspect that will greatly reduce the bad guy's ability to do what he did.
Yep. And I'm using Proton Mail now, too.
Nice.
You guys sold me on it. My son-in-law works for J.P. Morgan, and he does a lot of work with real high-end people who have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm very impressed that you're using Proton Mail. A lot of my customers who have a lot of money.
I bet they do.
Proton Mail.
There you go.
There you go.
So now you're a hero at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Very impressed.
Good. I'm glad I could up your stature in the family.
Yeah, you did. You did. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, Seth. Good luck.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So a couple keys here. Whether you listen to me or not, it's the thing about IT is pay me now, pay me later, right? So if you don't do two-factor authentication, you're going to have issues like Seth went through. You've heard it. I promise you, the bad guys are out there sending these emails. They're going to trick you. Just get two-factor turned on everything you can and back up what's important to you. If it's not backed up and they still get through, you're going to be, crying in your soup.
Yeah.
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you. Alan, hang on. We'll get to you next. 860-522-9842 is the number. It's the only number. We'll be right back.